Jeff, you would have been proud of me. You know where I was a few minutes ago?
You're in your.
If this is a podcast, building. you can't wait 30 seconds before you.
A few minutes ago, you were right here. A few minutes ago, we've been here a little bit.
A couple hours ago. I'll just tell you. I was on a golf course.
Oh.
So anyway, I'm looking at a house over there. So
thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
So you mentioned that, okay, we're recording this one about a week or so in advance, so that means this podcast will be coming out on Sunday of the Masters tournament, kind of like a holiday.
Is that a golf thing? What is that?
Oh, you know what it is. I've never been there. That is kind of
that's the one in Georgia?
Yes, it's the one in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. It's the one that Bobby Jones designed there. We have a movie, we've saved it on our TV, keep thinking about every year at the Masters, the Bobby Jones story. He's the one that, amazing golfer, stayed an amateur this whole career, which is an interesting aspect. But at the end of the movie, there's a scene, it may not touch you like it touches me, but toward the end of the movie, he's driving in the, out in the country in Georgia. And he got the pine trees, and he and another guy are in a pickup truck, and they turn a corner, and there's kind of an open field there. And he says something like, I think I'm going to build a golf course here. And then the scene changes. It just morphs from an open, empty field out in the middle of nowhere to Augusta National.
And just kind of overwhelmed with emotion.
Oh, I kind of get choked up now just thinking about that.
Oogie doke.
They say that is a very unique place there. So yes,
I'm a cold-hearted individual because I don't think it would affect me that way.
So this is our Sunday at the Masters podcast. For whatever themes you want to include in that. Well, you got anything before I?
Well, we are the Fields Brothers. I guess we ought to say that.
I supposed to say that?
Well, that's okay. I'll take over here since you kind of.
Go ahead. I've got choked up here, a little emotional.
Yeah, you're off on golf somewhere. So we do this from Central Kentucky at Moonlight Fields Event Venue, and we were both once pastors, and we're kind of glad we're not doing that now. But there was no scandal. We didn't get fired. We didn't
No money missing.
Nothing like that. No scandals. But we just allowed us, really, I guess, because of that, to really take a fresh look at faith and church and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we're just really big on the unfiltered grace, that this is all about what God has done for us, not about what we do for God. And I think that just gives anybody a real fresh perspective on life and God and all. So that's kind of what
it is freeing
about.
The fact that we don't get paid for doing this, and we don't. Do you ever wonder this sometimes?
Are we ever never going to get paid? I mean, is this never going to happen, Jeff, you think? I mean,
not to any extent. We did.
I guess not.
Full disclosure, we're not a member. And there's that organization for ministries, financial accountability.
Bring them on.
Should we become a member of that?
It won't take very long for them to look at the books.
Or do you have to have? We do get a little bit of, for what it's worth, we get a little bit of revenue selling the books, and it kind of pays for our podcast host. And it actually, this is really full disclosure.
A new microphone, something like that.
And it paid for Mom's birthday.
Yeah, that's true. We did.
So
we let that,
Had her, took her out for her birthday a couple months ago.
Yep.
And, so where we discuss the ministry needs and all that, or the ministry for that anyway. So Roger came across someone, just stumbled across this person yesterday, actually. Okay. I stumbled across on Facebook. So there was a Facebook page, and I found a video. I thought, boy, that is interesting. And then I checked, he has a YouTube channel and the website. And it goes by the name, and I don't think I'd ever heard of this. There's one individual behind it, and I'll mention his name in a second, but it's called The Objective Believer. Have you ever heard of that or come across any of that?
No, I've not heard that term.
The Objective Believer, a man named S.J. Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L. It goes by S.J.
All right.
I think I read where he's in Texas, married and two or three kids, I think. He doesn't speak. I mean, all the videos have his voice, but you would appreciate the creativity of the videos because they're, partly animated. Then they'll show other pictures or maybe, a little movie clip or real quick, but very creatively done that you would appreciate that. I'll send you a couple text when we're done here.
These are on what, like on YouTube?
Or well, what? he has a website. They're on Facebook and they're on YouTube.
Okay. All
so right. Different ones there. And I would guess he's 40-ish or something like that. I think kids are still at home. But the objective believer, and so he describes himself as, in terms of, you know, we always want to know, okay, what campus is someone in? What are they, you know, what group are they part of there?
So we got to pigeonhole them. Yeah.
So, and so he describes himself as charismatic, word of faith, grace. Okay. And I've listened to enough of him that he is pretty much on target on the grace issues and things like that, and been some really good stuff. He's and so he's very
you know, who also kind of fit that description.
Well, there are several. Well, who's
particularly Joseph Prince.
Yeah, Joseph, and he one of his videos is basically Joseph Prince.
Yeah,
and also what's another one? I can't think of the name now. But anyway, yeah, there's a few. I mean, that's the thing we talked about this before. It's interesting how the grace message and the gospel of grace shows up in pretty much every type of denomination. Yeah. Some very formal, more liturgical type of groups, and then others like that. And so. But he is, what he is so good at is, you know, the name of it is the objective believer, of trying to take out emotions from, okay, what does Scripture say? What makes sense here? And he has a term, what is falsifiable? I don't think I had heard that
falsifiable?
Term. Falsifiable? Like true, false. False, falsifiable.
Falsifiable.
Can you prove that something is false?
Okay.
And evidently that's a term that's kind of comes from the area of science.
All right.
And so he looks at things, okay, can we actually say that this is true or false? So someone says, this scripture says this. Well, it may or may not say that. So there's a lot of scriptures that, yeah, it may say that, but you can't prove that that's what it means or what it doesn't mean. So, I mean, he's very intelligent in that regard. And he has a great video. One of his videos describes his own experience at video gaming. You know, video gaming's huge.
So I've heard that.
One of them.
I've heard that caught on.
He did, and there are a lot of them are a little bit humorous too. Yeah. So he talks about how when he was in college, he was able to get the sweet, as the way he described it, the sweet position of being chief chef at a Dairy Queen. And so he had a little bit of money for the first time in his life.
That might be like my dream job.
A Dairy Queen. And so he bought a PlayStation 2, you know, the video game thing. And there was a particular game, and he named what it was, I forget it was, that he got pretty good at. And, you know, it's where you're capturing someone and killing someone and all this type of thing. Doesn't do anything for me, but a lot of people are into that.
Yep.
And he said, I got pretty good at it. But then he was just playing against the computer, against the, you know, the game itself. And then so we got a buddy that started playing with it. And so they started playing each other. And then he realized, okay, this is a little bit harder when you're playing against somebody else, and, you know, another human that's thinking and all this. And this was a long time ago. Now artificial intelligence, they're probably just as hard. But back then it was different.
Yeah.
And so we got pretty good against his buddy. Well, then they realized, okay, you can play this online against people all over the world. And so they started – and then he says, I realized – we were not even average. We were not good at all. And then he made the point, as long as we stayed in our own little group, or as long as I didn't have anybody else to compete against, I thought I was pretty good.
Yeah.
But when you get outside of that, and then you start against other people, and then he said, there was this other game. He said, no, that one, I actually was pretty good on that one. But the idea that in our doctrinal thinking,
in our beliefs, what we believe.
We're
our own bubble.
As long as we are staying in our own bubble, or maybe just our own, you know, we can feel pretty secure. Yeah. And we can, but, and so he gave me a new appreciation for letting others honestly, to ask honest questions.
Yeah.
And you really don't know until you talk to someone that disagrees with you, you really don't know, you know, the own holes in your thinking with that.
Yeah.
And so he has one video about.
Well, let me say something about that.
Okay, all right.
I think the key to that is not to not be invested in your own interpretation or way of seeing things. In other words, you know,
which is not easy to do.
It's not always easy to do, and you know, sometimes we come to conclusions over a long period of time. But to be confident enough or secure enough in what you believe to be able to listen to opposing viewpoints.
Yeah, and so it's been so. But many times we don't want to listen to opposing viewpoints. He has one video that basically he says it's good to debate strangers online. And we've talked a little bit about that, about, you know, we tend to not want to do that.
Yeah, I've done that a little bit.
But he
more than I care to admit sometimes.
He makes a great case for debating others online, but not for the purpose of changing their mind.
Right.
You debate others online so that you can learn more, that you can learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, I like talking to people that disagree with me because I might be able to learn from them. How many people online, you know, engage in a debate with that?
I do a little bit of both. In other words, I like to say something, if it's engaged, say in a little bit of a provocative way to try to make it a point, but to pull out of the other person what they really do believe and think on something. Because as long as you do learn something.
Yeah.
And I've done that before. I said, well, you know, I admit, I had not thought of that.
Yeah.
And you have to, I think you have to be able to do that.
And there's, he has a, one of them he talks about, and of course he's coming from a word of faith standpoint. He said, you know, for all of us, no matter which camp we're in, you know, Arminian, Reformed, Charismatic, or what's kind of the other term, cessationist, where, you know, the gifts ceased and all this stuff. He said, we all have scriptures that give us problems.
Right.
And for any of us, we'll have scripture over here that supports what we believe, but then there's other scriptures that seem to be just contrary to what we say we believe. Mm-hmm. And he talks about when the day came when he realized, he said it was like a ton of bricks taken off of his shoulders, that I don't have to figure all that out.
Oh, no.
That I don't have to resolve with that. So he says, so you know what I do now when I come across something and there's a gap there and that I don't understand? You know what I do now? Nothing. It has a little picture of the Sound of Music, the lady on Sound of Music and the hillside and all this, and her picture pops up on the video, nothing, and all that. Yeah. But it's, and he also gives me an appreciation for how we have formed our opinion. So many times we form our opinions about other groups, not by listening to that other group, but by listening to what other people say about that group.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, and, you know, I mean, I've seen that. And so one of the examples he gave, and so he, a lot of his videos are, he will show videos of other people that have disagreed with him or disagree either with him or with what he represents. And then he will kind of counter them, but he always, he's always very kind. He's always, and he doesn't go beyond what, you know, he feels like is, he can actually show in scripture one way or the other and that there's a lot more. And so, and one of the things, and I, and I've thought about this too. Tell me if you've thought about this.
Let me say one thing about how we go after other ministries. Like if you're having a national ministry and if you ever, ever, ever say anything stupid, even one time, that'll be the clip that goes around the world. That everybody shows that you're a heretic or you're a moron and you don't know what you're talking about. And I, you know,
so we better hope we don't, ever get that big because we got a whole archive out there a few years worth.
It won't
worth
take long. That's right. So anyway.
It made me lose, but all the, he showed a video of a Catholic, and I forget the guy's name, younger guy, but very articulate. In this example, which, you know, we're definitely not Catholic. And at times, I think we'd be honest, we kind of shake our head and wonder how can anyone, why is anyone a Catholic and all that? And that shows that our view of Catholicism is, hasn't really come from listening to Catholics. It's come from listening to people who are not Catholics.
Right.
And so he plays some clips of this fella on YouTube, and he's probably pretty well known, and I'm sure does a pretty good job of articulating Catholic things. And I bet if we listen to them very, very long, we'd say, okay, well, you know, I don't agree with that, but, you know,
see,
I
can see why
someone
see
would or something like
that. Yeah.
But, you know, in this particular video clip, and he had online, this fella, S.J. Newell, had asked him, okay, what, they were talking about works, salvation by works. And so S.J. Newell asked a question online, what about Romans 4, 1 and 2? You know, not by works, by faith, not by works. Mm-hmm. And so this guy basically answers that argument in a YouTube video. And it says, okay, what are the works that, that he's talking about here? So yes, it says not by works, but what are the works? And he points out that, okay, in Romans 3, Paul was talking about circumcision. And then later on in Romans 4, he's talking about circumcision. And so this Catholic teacher who would say that you and I are false teachers, he talks about the false teachers who promote salvation by faith alone. He says they're not looking at the context. In the context of chapter 3 and later on chapter 4 is circumcision. So that's what the works in Romans 4 are. Now, you know, you can punch holes in that, and that's what S.J. Newell did and all that.
Yeah.
But it brings on the fact that everybody, context is important, but it's used so much by everybody. It's almost become meaningless.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anytime you try to make a point of someone that says, well, you got to look at the context. And then you think, oh, no, not the context. Yeah. You know, yeah. And everybody says the context supports what they believe with that. So, I mean, is that interesting at all to you?
Yeah, yeah.
He is from a he also showed a clip of Jordan Peterson talking with Ben Shapiro.
I've heard a little bit about that, yeah.
And what was interesting is they were on the Rubin Report, Rubin's show.
And Peterson's kind of come around to faith, I think. I think he was atheist, and he's kind of coming around a little bit.
Not all the way around, but yeah. But anyway, so Ben Shapiro had interviewed John MacArthur. Do you remember that a few months ago, whatever? So he did one of his full Sunday interviews with John MacArthur. And he had just done that interview, and now he's talking to Jordan Peterson in the Rubin Report. Okay. So they hadn't even aired the MacArthur thing. And so what was interesting was to hear Ben Shapiro talking to Jordan Peterson about John MacArthur.
Yeah, boy, wow.
And but what he pointed out, what S.J. Newell pointed out is, now obviously Ben Shapiro, who's Jewish, is not a ultimate spokesman for what Christianity is, and Jordan Peterson is not either. But what he did point out is neither one of those have a dog in the fight, in terms of what does Christianity look like, because neither one. So, I mean, they are objective, if nothing else.
Right.
And what MacArthur is basically saying to Ben Shapiro, and what they recognized, when Shapiro and Peterson were talking about, they're saying, yes, it's not by works. Salvation is not by works. But if you're saved, you will have works, and your works become evidence that you are saved. And they described it as retroactive acts-based, or we would say works instead of acts, retroactive acts-based salvation, or retroactive works-based salvation. And I've heard Paul Ellis point this out as well, that when we make a big deal about, you're not saved by works, but by your evidence, works, you know that's the evidence.
Yeah, so you better
there's not much difference
right,
there.
There's not much difference.
There is not much difference right, there. And I that's agree. What S.J. Newell makes a great point of how they notice that with that. And, of course, he also, he comes from a Word of Faith charismatic background, which I don't know where I am on that. I mean, Word of Faith, I mean, I see some things in that and all that that seem very valid and all that, and I've seen abuses as well. So I kind of consider myself really not forward in ways and not so much forward in ways. Would that be, how would you describe yourself?
I think there's some truth in Word of Faith, and I understand that camp pretty well. I think the problem, and I understand why they say a lot of things they say, they kind of countered the whole deal where God got blamed for making you sick. God got blamed for everything, and they kind of began to say, "Well, Jesus didn't do that." And so it's based on a lot of scripture. But what I think is the biggest problem in Word of Faith is they make things a priority that were never a priority. Mm-hmm. Health is not the ultimate priority, neither is your prosperity. Now, you cannot read the Bible and not see that God seemed to be kind of pro helping people get better, and He seemed to be pro mostly supplying people's needs, and sometimes even abundantly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't discard, Abraham and a lot of people that did pretty well, and God helped them do that.
Yeah. Or in the Gospels, Jesus, no one ever came to healing to him that he said, well, no, it's God's will for you to say. So, I mean, what do you do with it? We're not going to get into all that.
And he never put cancer on anybody to teach him, teach him a spiritual lesson. So I think the issue becomes can healing and God's provision be a byproduct, and I think it can be, of your relationship with God. It's just, I don't think it's ever meant to be the focus. And that's what I kind of recoil in, where everything is the focus. And I know of ministries like that where everything is all the time, always about whether you're healthy and how you're prospering. And so people have to kind of pretend that they're really hesitant to tell anybody in the church if they're not healthy.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
And
I do know of examples of that.
And they, of course, they really are thrilled to share something if they do get healed of something, or if they get a raise at work. And you got to allow them to be able to do that, I think, to rejoice when things happen. So it is an interesting dynamic.
One of the points he makes, and I have kind of like this, so the ones that are not in the Word of Faith, they put us down because we're all about, health and wealth. And then he points out, when those not in that camp talk about heaven, what do they talk about in heaven? Well, no more sickness, no more dying, streets of gold, all this stuff. He said, we're all health and wealth. It's just a matter of timing.
That's a great point.
That was
actually
kind of interesting. Yeah, you know,
that's a great
point. So, you know, when you throw heaven in the mix and life after this, you know, after this life, we're all health and wealth.
It's easy to say, well, we don't believe in the health and wealth of the gospel. Well, if you're sick, I'll bet you that you're okay if I pray with you to get better. And if you can't pay your bills, I bet you're okay with me praying for you that God will come through. And, you know, if I gave you $1 million, would you take it? And if you would, well, guess what? You're kind of pro-prosperity then.
Oh, and a couple of verses that he pointed out, one in 1 Corinthians 8:2. Now, 8:1 is this verse I mentioned before that comes to my mind a lot. You know, 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, or edifies. This Bible that's here in front of me, love, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Verse 2. This would be a great verse to put on. I bet this is not on a refrigerator anywhere in this country. 1 Corinthians 8:2. You don't know what it says, do you?
No, I don't.
That is not a familiar passage. No, if I say John 3:16, Galatians 2:20, all these things, you know. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I talked over you the last part. Say the last part of that again.
And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know.
As he ought to know.
So, and there, basically, it's the idea that if we think we know everything, then we don't know hardly anything. It's the idea that, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. That doesn't mean there's not truth. There's not a valid place for kind of discerning what is the truth of God. But realize, at best, we have a...
Well, we see through a glass darkly.
Yes, yes.
I mean, 1 Corinthians 13... And, you know, I mean, it's a lot of times wisdom is just knowing what you don't know.
Yeah.
Just knowing, well, I don't know that. And we as Christians, for some crazy reason, we think we got to have an answer for everything. We think we got to understand why did Aunt Martha get sick? We got to figure out, well, she, you know, back where she didn't believe something, or she says something wrong, or she had a bad confession or whatever, like, oh my goodness, you know. But we've got to have, not only do we think we have to know it all, we think we have to know why everybody else is either doing well or not doing well.
Yeah, and I'm more and more comfortable not knowing
certain
things and quicker to recognize that.
Great freedom in that. You know, that really is one of the freedoms of grace.
Yeah.
Being able to say, I don't know, and feel comfortable saying, I don't know.
Yeah, and not have to, he uses the term, not have to push, pull, squeeze every verse in to fit everything, that we don't know. The other thing, and this is actually a clip that's on his website or on his, I guess, on his YouTube channel. It's actually Joseph Prince speaking, though. But I had a section that we're familiar with in general, 2 Corinthians 3, where it talks about the old covenant and, you know, written on stones and all this. But I had never thought about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. And Joseph Prince pointed out how there have been a lot of meetings, or they would call them revivals. We might not think that's the most accurate term for them, but various meetings through the years, even centuries ago, where people would basically preach law and, you know, really hard against sin just to make people feel guilty over sin. And, you know, I think we would both acknowledge that some people came to Christ through that, and that people were made more aware of their sin. And, you know, a lot of people did come to Christ through those, and probably still today that happens some. But what he pointed out that I never thought of, when it says here that that's the form of ministry of condemnation. And here it's talking specifically about the old covenant, but I think it would apply to, you know, that type of preaching is essentially preaching old covenant style. And he says here in verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, so it says the ministry of condemnation did have glory, that there was a certain degree of glory, but the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So if someone's preaching a legalistic message and somehow through that someone comes to Christ and recognize their sin, I think, you know, that can happen.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of glory to that, but it cannot compare with the glory of the gospel of grace and the new covenant and the others. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, let me give you another little angle on the same thing, I think, is that, you know, grace even covers a little bit of legalism, which is really weird, because I would say it like this. You know, in Romans, where it talks about eating meats. You know, it says some people think it's a sin to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and they would take idols.
Well, that's First Corinthians. Charge. That's the context of this First Corinthians thing, is food sacrificed to idols.
And so some people think, well, they just eat it no matter what. And so you would think under grace that Paul would just say, look, it does not matter where the meat came from. You could eat the meat. But he allowed people to feel like if they didn't, their conscience wouldn't allow them to do it. Okay, fine.
So we're not legalistic about grace.
Yeah, we're not even legalistic about grace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing, actually. So,
but that, anyway. The glory of the old covenant, was a ministry of condemnation. There's still a glory to that to this day, but it cannot compare with the glory of righteousness. And gets into that section that you talked about earlier, that that we've been made the righteousness of God, the ministry of reconciliation. That is the good news.
Jeff, I'll be thinking about you this week. I'll be down in Florida. be in our condo, just kind of chilling out there in the warm weather, looking at the beach.
You're getting all this out of the way before you get slammed with a wedding season, aren't you?
I am. That's true. It's about ready to hit real hard, hot and heavy. So.